Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Cyberhood Watch live radio show. Man, what an awesome day today. We've been working really hard over the past couple of weeks getting everything ready for fall time stuff for Dave and I for the Cyberhood Watch, so fun stuff around the corner for us. And we just barely got a brand new project put together. I think you can find that on most of our sites, so you want to go out and check that out. It's part of working with Squidoo, so make sure you do that. If you're familiar with the Web 2.0 stuff on the internet, you're going to know that Squidoo is a big part of all of the growing aspects of Web 2.0. So that's been a lot of fun, Dave. I've just kind of wrapped that up over the last couple of weeks, and a lot of really cool stuff, especially with helping kids. Dave's got a big old project that he's going to put together, so that's going to be fun. It's going to be talking about internet security and keeping your children safe, and so make sure you check that out. We'll have links on BTR as well when those become available. So we're going to get right into our show today. It's going to be awesome. We've got a fantastic guest on today, and we're going to get into the Q&A. The lines are open. I'll be manning the switchboard, and Dave will be monitoring the chat room. And the number is 347-324-3429, or you can use the BTR link up and call in that way as well. And then the chat room is always available, and you can ask your questions in there. So, as always, my co-host is Dave Ballard. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad to be here again.
Yeah, we always joke around that we know where we're supposed to be on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. It's our one assignment for the week, so we're excited to be here. And we're going to get the show started. We're going to ask our guest today really quickly if she'll just go over kind of how she got here. This is our favorite part of the show, this and the wrap-up, Charlotte. So we can have some fun with this and just kind of give us a little insight to who you are and where you started and kind of where you are today. I mean, doing things with children and working with children the way that you are, you've got to have some very interesting stories and fantastic things that have happened over the last little while, especially prepping for your book and the release of that. This is kind of probably a whirlwind time for you. So share a little bit about that with us, and then we'll get into the Q&A. Dave will roll us out with some questions. So we'd like to take a couple of seconds and do that, and we'll welcome Dr. Charlotte Resnick, and her book is The Power of Your Child's Imagination. And welcome, Charlotte.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here. It's great to be here. And, you know, you asked about how I got started in this work, and basically I was in the inner city in Los Angeles as a psychologist, and the kids were in really bad shape, and traditional ways of working with the kids just weren't working. So I wanted to find something to touch their heart and move their soul, and I found the power of their own imaginations did it, because they were able to go inside and find respite and find peace of mind and find answers to many of the challenges they were facing.
Oh, you know, that I love that answer. I was kind of hoping that's what you would talk about a little bit as far as, like, what inspired you to do that. And we're going to get started on the questions, and I had just one quick point. I watched a story the other day with it's a brand new movie that came out, and it was talking about stories and how the imagination works within those stories. And my kids just loved that movie, and it was funny. I turned to my wife and I said, you know, that is really what a book is about. When you open up your imagination, the story becomes real, and that's kind of how this movie was, is it made the story real and all the things happened. So that's got to be so much fun when you get a breakthrough with kids and move in that direction.
It's totally touching for me. And I wrote this book so parents and therapists and educators could help teach the kids that they work with how to connect with their imagination, because I can't reach everyone, and it's been so important over time for me. And I always tell kids, especially the older ones, that as much as there is outside, because there's so much stimulation that kids are facing outside, there's that much and more inside. And all they have to do is slow down, breathe, and connect with that vast resource and wisdom that they all have.
It's kind of the inner imagination that you're referring to?
The inner imagination. Yeah, sure. Is there an outside imagination?
Well, I guess it might be how everyone perceives the world around them.
Think about it. You have so many thoughts a day, thousands and thousands. That's kind of from your imagination as well. And you create pictures, whether they're thought pictures or whether they're feeling pictures or whether they're actual pictures in your mind when you have a thought. So why not harness that power and use it for positive good for yourself and for the people around you? That's why that's why I put together these 9 tools to help, in a very simple way, help the kids go inside and find answers.
So based on what you've been saying, then what is it or why is it so important to access your child's imagination to handle their problems?
Because they're going to be living with themselves the rest of their life, and you want to help them build their resources from the get-go to help them develop to be strong and to be able to face whatever challenges, because, one, parents aren't always going to be around, and that one of the points of parenting is to teach your child to be independent. And what better way than to teach him the skills to find the answers for himself? I have a little boy who was having trouble sleeping, 9 years old. He was waking his parents up every night, several times a night. And with a little help, with a little direction, he was able to imagine an animal friend, a big, gigantic white dragon that was protecting him in his bed and keeping him safe, and a tiger at the door keeping any bad men out. And he was able to sleep peacefully.
You know, I had a question, thought that, we're talking about children specifically here, but can some of the things that you're talking about or explaining to us be applied to adults that maybe, you know, have problems sleeping? Are they the
same?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I only see adults if they need some work with imagery, and one of the strongest adults I thought of was someone who was having trouble sleeping. And then all the CDs that I make for kids, they help them sleep at night, and I try to get the parents to listen with them often because they could benefit just as much. And in this new book, I have a chapter just for parents. Parents need tools too. And in fact, I have a special nurturing imagery to help them because they don't get enough acknowledgement. They don't get enough affirmation. They don't get enough appreciation from their families, from anyone, for a very long time, maybe never. So they need to be built up also. And I suggest that they practice all these 9 tools because they're easy, they're simple, they're fast, and they could use it to help themselves.
I agree. So anything nice you want to say about Bill and I, we'll just listen.
Ah! Well, you guys are delightful.
There we go.
So a little more about this imagery and how you use it, and how a child would sit down and say to themselves, okay, now I'm going to use this imagery for maybe because I'm angry, or I'm, you know, how do you deal with that, or how do you get them to think that way?
I think it's a really important point to try to connect with what's important to that child. For example, parents might bring in a child and say, my kid's really angry, you know, make him better, fix him, teach him tools. But the child comes in, and he has a different agenda. So I first try to address the child's agenda. Maybe he's feeling, you know, he's angry at his brother because his brother's mean to him. So then we kind of address his, you know, him imagining his brother being nice to him. And we go there first. Or maybe a girl is really into sports, and she's not really interested in being, you know, the good big sister, or not interested in not yelling at her mom, but she loves sports. So I have her, maybe she's a basketball player, so I have her imagine playing basketball really well. There was a very simple study done where they did kids taking shots from the foul line, and they did 3 groups. One practiced their imagery for 20 minutes a day for 20 days, one actually practiced the basketball, and one did nothing. And after 3 weeks, what do you think happened?
Wow. I can imagine the ones that did the imagery and then shot did well.
The ones that did the imagery just did just as well as the ones that practiced the shooting of the, at the foul line. They improved 23 or 24%, whereas the people that did nothing didn't improve at all. So once I hook the kids in with what they're interested in, even if it's it's a boy and he wants to go out with a girl, you know, teach him how to draw her attention in. I mean, just use whatever your child is interested in. And then ask them questions that are important to them. And then get yes answers. And then hook them in that way. And then you could move on to your agenda. But first address theirs, what's important to them. Because I'm first an advocate for the children I work with.
So it's a lot of positive thinking and seeing it happen, and in some way, somehow, it does take place then.
Yes, absolutely. And you were asking about anger. There was a boy who was very angry. I had him close his eyes and visualize where he kept his anger, and that's the tool about talking to your body. And then I asked him what color his anger was and what shape it was, and that's kind of color for healing. And what he found was his anger was red and had an angry face. And then I asked him where his calm feelings were, which were blue, and where his and what color his love feelings were. And for him, it was white, because a lot of times boys use white while girls might use pink. And so then I had him imagine breathing in the calm blue feelings into his anger and kind of notice what happened. And what he noticed is that the calm feelings covered up the anger. But then I had him breathe in the love feelings. And you know what happened? The anger just disappeared. So for him, the loving feelings were stronger than the calm feelings. So I teach kids to kind of find their, we might say negative feelings, but, you know, find the down feelings and find the antidote for that. And then you could use color or you could use conversation to find a way to work with the anger or maybe speak to the anger. See what the anger wants from you. There was one little girl that was really upset because she had a younger brother who was taking her place, you know, all the attention. So first I had to try to send love to her brothers, and she sent it from her heart into her toes where her bad feelings about her brothers were. And what happened was there was a gate at her ankle, wouldn't let the love go through. So then we had to talk to the anger and find out what it needed. And what she needed was spend more time with her mom. So then we brought in an animal friend who helped her find an answer to that, which was, well, why don't you spend more time when your mom's changing your brother? And she figured that was fine. So then once she processed that and thought, okay, I could do that, then the gate opened and she was able to send love down throughout her body. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you guys could do that too in some areas of your life.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, Charlotte, we had Dave and I had actually went and did some training last year with a coach that was teaching us how to apply the Think and Grow Rich principles in our lives. And it just kind of, I just went back really quickly in a year and realized, you know, a big part of the imagery that you're talking about really is like the structure of what he found when he was writing his book, that every one of those very successful men that he had researched and studied in the early 1900s, they all used imagery as a part of what they did. And I think it's really cool that you're showing us even with children, because we would think of something like that, that it would be really easy for children to imagine things, but if they don't know what they're doing and how to control that, because when I was a kid, they always called it daydreaming.
Right.
But that looks like where we need to get kids in is daydreaming and not texting.
yes, absolutely. That's, again, taking the time to go inside a little bit. And they've used imagery, you know, in all kinds of areas with adults. Like there's so much research in sports psychology and in
mm-hmm.
health. And now recently in the last 10, 20 years, there's a lot of research on using the power of the imagination for children as well.
Yeah, that's one of the most powerful images I ever seen, and this is just because I'm a sports nut, but they showed Michael Jordan shooting foul shots in a game with his eyes closed. He had done it so much and knew where that basket was, and he was messing, you know. It was like at the end of a game or something, but they had a camera on him, and he was just messing around. He closed his eyes and made both free throws, and he just kind of turned around and looked at the camera like, you know, that's, you know, I've done it so much, and I've imagined myself making those shots so many times, and that really is powerful if your kids could to see that. What's your best recommendation as starting with kids? Do you like to start with them in when they're toddlers, kind of getting ready to talk and kind of working through that age, or is it more in the 5 and 6 year old age where it really starts to break through?
Probably more 5 and 6. Even the 4-year-old knows, like, the idea of a rainbow, usually has the language for that, and so you could easily teach them what I call the balloon breath, which is basically deep breathing into your belly about 2 inches below your belly button. So imagine your belly's like a balloon and you're blowing it up, and then you're breathing out slowly to let the air out. But even with the younger kids, I'll use a rainbow breath. I'll just call it that and have them imagine breathing in a rainbow into their body, a rainbow of love, and filling up their whole body with that. And that they love that at that age. You know, you just work with the age you're at and what language they're using. So no matter how old your child is now, you could start there pretty much. And I want to go back to what you said about Michael Jordan, because I was struck this past summer when I was finishing up the book, and with Michael Phelps, who won 8 gold medals. And there was a paper on him in the paper saying all it took was a little imagination.
A little imagination or a lot of imagination?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said, but we know it was a lot of imagination.
And you really can't see him sweat in his profession either.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You've talked a lot about guided imagery and how it seems to be applied for children, and you talked about your balloon breath, but what are some of the transformational tips that you can share with our listeners?
You know, the other tools really help transform things. Like, okay, the balloon breath is the foundation tool, because you want to be able to calm yourself and go inside. And I often recommend kids close their eyes. I know they could do it without their eyes closed, but it helps if they can at least close their eyes for a little bit, because then they're really connecting inside. And then we want them to find a special place, a place that's safe, that they could feel loved, that they could do their inner work. One girl had a special place that had like 9 different rooms to do her work. You know, one was an eating room, one was a playroom, and then one was a room where there was a table and 2 chairs where she could call in her inner guide, which will often do either an animal friend or a wise person or a wizard, depending on how old the person is. And then they want to connect with their heart, because there's so much wisdom in their heart, and connecting with their heart and belly is another tool. I have kids all the time in my office before they leave. I always have them check with their heart. What does their heart want to tell them today? What do their gut feelings have to tell them? And they could check in a couple of minutes, and I encourage them to do that in the morning when they wake up or whenever a problem comes up. And then you want to, you know, check out the whole other body. Like when we were talking, where do they keep their feelings? And I find calling in some kind of inner guidance, whether it's in the form of an animal friend or whether it's in the form of a wizard or even a wise person for the older parents or the teenagers, really, really helps.
What is actually taking place when they do their balloon breath? What is, you mean, psychologically or physiology-wise?
Well, physiologically, they're calming themselves. When you think about it, about 2 inches below your belly button is the center of your body. So you're recentering yourself, and it helps kids respond rather than react. You know, if someone bugs you and you just react right away. But if you took time to do 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe 10 balloon breaths, it would calm you right down so that you can come from a more centered place and say the things you really want to say and not regret it. And so physiologically, it definitely calms you down. It slows your blood pressure. There's all kinds of studies on deep diaphragmic breathing and what it can do. And it's really a basic form of meditation. All meditation is, it's not like a big fancy technique or anything to be scared of. It's just being calm and focused. And you could do that through your breathing. You could do that when you're running because you're really focused. You can do that in many ways. And this is one of the ways. And it's one of the ways in to your inner knowledge, even when you're five or six.
Well, actually, that might be a great thing for Bill and I to practice when we're confronting someone that maybe isn't listening. We both start breathing heavy, and they'd probably walk away with their eyebrow raised.
Not breathing heavy, my dear, but breathing slowly and deeply into your right below your belly button. You could try it now. If you put your hand over your belly, right below your belly button, just breathe in very slowly.
Yeah, I was actually doing that when you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that you use with a child that's maybe having problems with siblings?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I was talking about the little girl who was really bugged by her brothers. And so sometimes I'm thinking about another little girl who was so angry at her sister because her sister would bug her in the car and, you know, bug her want to play with her and all kinds of things like that. So what she did instead was she called in her animal friends, and she had two birds, a red bird and a blue bird. And the red, when she would have fights with her sister, she would feel all yucky and stuff. And she said the red bird would come and kind of pick off the yucky stuff from her that her sister kind of laid on her, but that the red bird couldn't pull off her own yucky stuff that she put on herself. So one, it helped her release some of the bad feelings between her and her sister, and it also helped her realize her part in it. And if her mom or me had said, well, you know, it's partly your fault, that never would have gone over. But when she realized it herself, it made a really big difference.
Boy, I imagine that would. That'd be you almost think that that's a little more mature than that what they realize, but I guess not.
It is a little more mature. And that's why it's so amazing, because the kids come up with wonderful ideas that they wouldn't normally come up with. If you just ask a child, hey, why'd you do that? They might say, I don't know. But when they go in and they ask their animal friend, they get a very excellent answer. There was one girl that she was having terrible stomach aches, and her parents were kind of about to get a divorce that she didn't even realize. And what happened was that when she went inside and asked what could help her, she had this picture of a swirling rainbow. And when she breathed that in, it just calmed her belly down.
Interesting. So is there another technique you use for children that maybe you're going to have a test or a school pressure?
Yeah. That's just a wonderful way to work with kids for any kind of performance, either for performance anxiety or wanting to do their best. Like one boy I'm thinking of, he was in middle school, and he was having some tests coming up, you know, some finals at the end of the term, and he was really anxious about it. So he imagined himself in this wonderful library that had all the information for all time, and he sat at the silver desk, and he imagined himself studying and looking at his books. And while he was studying and looking at the books, the information was floating up into his brain. And so that way, and then they stayed in his brain. Or another little boy who was having trouble with spelling, and he would get, you know, sometimes they do these dictation paragraphs, you know, rather than just a spelling test, and this little boy would get like 27 answers wrong in one paragraph. So he called in a spelling wizard. And the spelling wizard would kind of whisper the answers to him. And every week his spelling improved, so that by the time he left, he only had three or four wrong in a paragraph. And that was a big improvement for him. Or sometimes when kids are learning to read or whatever, I have them imagine washing out their brain, you know, all their negative thoughts, and clearing it up and spiffing it up and cleaning it. Maybe they have to clean it with a cleanser or white foam or whatever they want, and have it ready to pop and learn. And that was really helpful for another girl who came in distraught before the end of school because, you know, when the kids are off summer like they are now for 2 or 3 months, their brains rot. At least this girl told me, and she drew a picture of her rotting brain. And you could see the areas of spelling and math were particularly black. So we washed it out, and then she had a beautiful clean brain, which she drew as a beautiful flower, and she was ready to learn.
You know, you brought up an interesting point, and I was thinking about this with my own kids, especially, They're from 4 to 8. I have 3 of them.
Wow.
And one of the things that you just mentioned, and I was thinking about this, is health issues. Dave and I also did some research last year on a couple of different things as far as psychological things that you do for yourself to help you deal with emotional issues, because we're doing a lot of research for our radio show and stuff. And what we found is a gentleman had told us that what you do is, like you said, you do the breathing. And he says, haven't you ever noticed when you get really, really mad, just really mad, you hold your breath?
Right.
And he says that's the first step in moving forward in solving issues. And you take a lower path or a higher path when you're doing this. If you start to breathe, then you can deal with these issues that come into your life as an adult. And I was thinking, well, how wonderful would this be? You're teaching children at an early age to do that, to breathe through those. So physically, when kids maybe have illnesses and things like that, we're probably going to find out eventually, you know, with modern medicine, that a lot of that was caused by stress and things that maybe as parents we don't think that that's what the cause would be. We just think it was something else. And you're probably finding, as kids are having physical ailments, if they have stomach aches and things like this, headaches, migraines, mm-hmm. that probably a lot of that can be remedied just by using your tools.
Yes, it really can, because what happens when you're stressed, your body releases cortisol, and that affects your immune system. It depresses your immune system, so you can get sick easier. So you want to reverse that a little bit and have a strong immune system. And you could do that with a lot of these imagery relaxation techniques. That makes a big difference. And I see kids all the time. I mentioned stomach aches earlier, but I do see kids all the time with headaches, including migraines. And one of the here's a very simple, effective technique you could use if you have a headache. Or if maybe Dave has a headache, Bill, and you want to work on him, you just have him do his slow breathing, not heavy breathing, just slow. And
slow.
Have him close his eyes, and then you ask him 3 questions. You ask him, what color is the headache? What shape is the headache? And how heavy is the headache? And then just say yes to whatever he says. Dave, don't listen to this part. And then just have him do his balloon breath another 3 or 4 times, and then repeat the questions, and then keep going for a few minutes and notice what happens. Often I see the headache starts out being black or red and sharp and heavy and turns over some time, maybe up to 5 minutes even, round and light and yellow or white, and then sometimes it just disappears totally. And if there's a little bit left, you could ask, or any parent or teacher or therapist out there can ask your headache, what else do you need to know or be aware of to let the rest of it go? And then see what information they get. Sometimes I had a little boy say, I need to take a nap. You know, I need to drink more water. I need to not run around so much. I need to pay attention to how I'm feeling.
That's really interesting, because that's a good technique for an adult. Then what are some of the other techniques you could tell us about for parents working with their children? You know, that stress that comes to parents. Bill wouldn't
know. For the parents themselves? For the parents.
Yeah, it's heck with kids right now. Let's talk about the adults.
Well, thank God for the wonderful parents out there. They have, you know, almost thankless job, and they have to just know that they are doing the best they can. And we just appreciate them so much. And what they need to have is patience, not just for their kids, but for themselves. And realize it not only takes, you know, a village to raise a child, it takes a whole lifetime. And when they make mistakes, not to get too down on themselves, but to apologize and let their kids know that they're human. And that's setting up being a good role model to show your kids you can make mistakes, you can repair them.
Okay, so now that the adult has their composure, what's the best advice for parents to help the kids succeed in life?
Oh, well, then they should follow the top 10 things that the kids have told me over the years that are really important to them. what they want and what they need from their parents. And the first, of course, is patience, which the parents need for themselves, but also understanding. Understanding what it's like to be a kid. It's so easy to forget what it was like as a child, and just for the parents to remember all the stuff they did, the bad things they did, which might be why they're worried about their child, because they do remember. But to also listen to their kids. You know, sometimes as parents we just want to fix a problem because we know we can, and sometimes kids don't want you to fix it. Just listen to them and just kind of repeat back to them what they're saying in their words or your own words, so that they know you're really hearing them. And just that, just really listening to them is very healing in itself. And you might be surprised, Bill and Dave, but kids don't like it when their parents yell. I mean, besides being hit, they hate being yelled at because they can't hear what their parents are trying to tell them. All they hear is the yelling. So as much as you can to use a soft voice, because the words the parents say are very important, and we want the kids to hear them. And if you feel you're going to lose it, give yourself a timeout. Go to the bathroom, put water on your face, walk around, and then come back. Do the balloon breath, because whatever you want to say to your kids is really important, but you want to say it in a calm way so that they could really hear you and appreciate you. Is that a good start?
That's a really good start. Yeah, I was thinking as you were mentioning that one of the things that we've tried to teach our kids, you know, going through that stage, Dave's kids are a little older, so he's done this already, but I've done a couple of different things with my kids, and you had mentioned this, that telling your kids you're sorry. This was something that I got a lot from my grandmother when I was growing up, because she raised me, but not from my grandpa. And so one of the things that I made sure when I was like, if I'm in the wrong and I've jumped to conclusions or I've done something like that, I try, after it's kind of settled down a little bit, I've tried to get with my kids individually and, you know, let them know that I'm sorry, that I'd made a mistake or I had jumped to conclusion. And, you know, it's amazing because it really is more for me than it is for them, but in reality it is for them.
Yeah.
Because it shows them the right way to do things, and you brought up a couple of really great points, and I think that this, I would like you to talk a little bit about, and if you don't mind kind of just veering off a little bit from your book, and talk about what you've kind of seen with exactly what you're talking about and the new technology age that we're in today, because a lot of these problems and issues that kids are dealing with are just normal kid stuff. Everybody goes through these growing stages. But with the advent of the internet, and especially over the past 10 years, how our lives are changed. We mentioned about texting, but I'd really like you to kind of get that disassociated young child that the parents just think, oh, it's normal life. What Dave and I have found really over the past year and a half as we've been interviewing our guests, that really it's not just normal. That the technology is actually changing the way our kids are raised. It's changing the way our kids look at life, their responsibilities to other people. You know, just, I mean, simple things. We know that, like with video games, playing for hours and hours and hours, or surfing on the internet for hours and hours and hours, that exactly what you're talking about, imagination, it's all taken away from them. There's so many things replacing that. How important do you think the next 10 years of this internet technology world that we're advancing in so quickly, we've got to hold on to things like what you're teaching and teach our kids how to use their imagination, or we're gonna lose that because everything's coming at us.
You're bringing up a lot of important points, because that is our world today. And part of it is moderation and timing. And, you know, many of the parents know it's important to monitor how much time kids are on the computer, how much time they're doing video games. It's really hard to cut it off altogether, because the parents that do try to cut it off in their home altogether, then the kids kind of rebel, and then they kind of go to their friend's house and spend hours. So if there's some kind of moderation, if you could set a good example, like a lot of parents that I see, they allow their kids sometimes actually no time during the week or a half hour during the week, and, you know, an hour or two on the weekends. This age is not going away, but you want to use it to your advantage. In terms of shaping the kids' brains, I'm sure from a very early stage on, like when kids are on the computer age 3, of course their brain cells are changing and their brain patterns are changing, but we could use it to an advantage in the sense that they're learning different patterns that maybe we didn't learn as kids. It's not all bad. I think it's the moderation idea. And, you know, many parents are having their kids on just sites that are family-friendly or educational. It might become a problem if you're not monitoring. So you want to be able to monitor and have some say in what's going on. And then talk to your kids, because whatever your values are, you want to share them with your kids.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what you said there is a very important statement, is that share that wisdom that you have with your children and the values. That, I mean, just being quiet about it and not really talking to your kids, it's a big mistake. And I don't know if it's because there's too many turnkey children and both parents are working, that they're just so tied up with their working lives and trying to make ends meet that they just forget that time. It's kind of like what Nancy McBride with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was talking about. Take 25 minutes a week and sit down and talk to your child. It has so much value to do that.
Sure. There was some study how much time parents spend talking to their kids a day, and it wasn't much. It was like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes. You know, it wasn't much. So, and parents are really busy because in the way we're living today, many families must work. Both parents must work. Or if a single parent households, there's a lot of work going on. It just is a fact of life. So you have to do just the best you can, and I think most parents are. And not to be afraid of talking to your kids about what's important to you, especially starting from an early age. They might, you know, get bored with it, but that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. You're right. They might get bored, but you say it anyway, and you'll repeat it again.
Sure.
I think because a lot of kids are home alone and they're very lonely and they're looking for attention, and the internet is a great place to find it. And unfortunately, sometimes the individual on the other end is aware of that, and they end up grooming that child for terrible things.
Sure. You always want to monitor things. You want to be able to see your kid's email. You want to see, you could block certain sites. You just want to do whatever you can in terms of parental controls and be aware of it. And I think if everyone is aware of the concerns, they can address them more easily, not be afraid to sweep it under the rug, but talk to your kids about it. You might not, you know, reach every child, but all you could do is the best you can each day.
So do you think there's any connection with the violence in media and the computer games and our children's behavior?
You know what? I did a review of an excellent book by Jerome and Dorothy Singer that's on my website. And they did extensive research themselves, and they did a review of all the literature. And there was definitely a connection with violence in the media and how kids react. So you really want to limit that. You know, you have to think that some kids, I mean, like boys are more interested in shoot-em-ups than girls in general, but not always. So, of course, it affects people. Just think about when you watch something. They were even showing preschoolers after Power Rangers. Their play would be more similar to the Power Rangers play, a little more violent. So it does affect kids.
So how do you think cyberbullying has come into play?
You mean how or why? Or
is it part of this violence in media that maybe, or
well,
is
I'm not
part
sure. I don't really know how to answer that question because it seems two separate items. You know, in some way, I'm sure you tie them together. But and I know that's your focus on the radio show a lot. But I think we just want to be aware of what's out there and take care of our kids as best we can and educate them. And I also want to point out that as kids get older, especially, and teenagers, the word is negotiate with them. So, like, if you're concerned about something and their values or their interests are different, because that's what happens when you're a teenager, that's part of what you're supposed to do, separate from your parents. But then negotiate with them on what's important. and see if you can come to a win-win situation for both of you. Because that's what's really important, that you both parent and child, could agree, okay, I'm not totally in favor of this, but I could live with it. And if you both feel that way, that's a good thing. You know, it's like even you can go out tonight, but you got to be home by curfew. You could have the key car, the keys to the car, but take good care of the car.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that we wanted to make sure we covered as we went through our show today, because you had these three major points, and I want to make sure that everybody really kind of takes note of this, because you talk about it a lot, and you've gone through your book, and you've emphasized the fact about tools. And, you know, you talk about a child's imagination can help them not only survive but thrive in, you know, in today's life and
sure.
the stresses of everyday problems. So what is your recommendation besides, you know, obviously getting your book and going through that, you know, cover to cover and learning the exact reasons why and the examples, how it will help you. But just starting out with your kids, you happen by and you listen to the Cyberhood Watch today and you're thinking, wow, well, this is really cool. I've always wondered if I should be focusing in on imagination for my kids, because, again, like you said, really busy life, both
mm-hmm.
parents working in most homes. Imagination is probably the last thing that they're thinking about.
Right.
What would be some easy things that they could do starting out to kind of get that so that they got a little bit better grasp of it, that
you
they
know,
really started, you know, incorporating these three elements that you talk about?
For example, if they're sitting around with the kids at dinner time when they might be the only time they're getting together, ask, okay, guys, how's everything going in this home? Are you all happy with it? Do we want to make any improvements? Do we want to get along better with each other? How would you like it to be? And then they might say, yeah, I would like to sort of fight less with this person, or I would like to spend more time with you. And just have them use their imagination to imagine how they'd like the family situation to be. Maybe someone's not doing so well in school and their report card comes back poorly. And instead of like yelling at them or getting on their case, say, well, how do you think you did? How would you like to do next time? Just to get them to imagine how they'd like things to be will help take that step, because then you could take the steps to get there. Okay, you'd like to get, you know, B's instead of D's. How should we do that? What do you think would help? Okay, they say, I don't know. Very possible. Okay, imagine, you know, imagine your favorite, you know, animal friend, or imagine the wisest person you know coming and whispering in your ear and giving you some advice. Or if you did know, what would you say? You know, kind of use a little bit word tricks, a little bit like that, to get them to
right.
pull out from their imagination how they'd like it to be. Because often they'll say, gosh, I need to study more. I need to overstudy. I need to go to every practice on the team. I need to be nicer to my brother and have him be, you know, for him to be nicer to me. Those answers are there, and they work better when they're coming from your child rather than you feeding it to them. But if a parent just poses the question and offers the possibility that things could be better, you know, that makes a big difference. I'll tell you, sometimes I use a marble jar where the kids will agree we want to get along better. So great. So every time I catch you being kind, sort of neutral or nice to your sister or brother, a marble goes in the jar. And then you have like, okay, marble goes up there, we have a special family night, or marble goes to this level, we have that. And I wouldn't call it bribing, you know. It's just like
mm-hmm.
an incentive. We all need incentives. You guys get paid, maybe you don't, but you know, maybe not enough. But we all need incentives, and sometimes that's kind of a fun thing. But just having them imagine how quickly can we get to the top of the jar, that brings imagination in itself. Or imagine, would you like to have some more friends? Okay, nobody likes me. Okay, imagine your whole class. Imagine, what three people would you like to be friends with? Okay, Johnny, Billy, and, you know, Jennifer. Imagine, you know, walking over to them and them saying something nice to you. Just planting that makes a difference. It's a great start.
Yeah, I really like the idea of planting seeds. That is so important in especially young children, but we know even from, and you know this as well as I do, in studying the success principles of, you know, because I revert back to the Think and Grow Rich book, because I just love
sure.
how it teaches you that. And once you plant that, then you nurture that seed, and you do all of the things that you would look at a garden and know that that was what was going to make a productive garden. That's what your mind is, and I think the earlier kids learn that. You know, the sad thing about me was is I didn't learn that until I was almost into my early 30s.
Wow.
You know, I never realized how important books were, and I was just such a revelation to me. I mean, I had a wonderful grandmother that, you know, did all of these things with me, taught me the golden rule and all the things that you talk about in here about
mm-hmm.
treating people right.
Mm-hmm.
And we had wonderful times of creating imaginations. One of the funnest things that we ever did when I was little, and she sat down and wrote it before she passed away, is that she did, we called it the ghost story. And there was three ghosts that, and it was kind of a Halloween story. And she would, and then it would ding, and I would do mine. And then she would do ding. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
by the third or fourth one, I had fell asleep. But I remember that story. I could probably just do the whole story for you, and it would be a really cute story. But the point was is she was doing, and she didn't know about imagination and what that was all about, the tools that we have today, because she grew up, you know, during the period of history where, you know, during the Depression and things like that. But
yeah.
I found it really interesting how that stayed with me until this day. That
wow.
little simple thing of just sharing her imagination with me
yes.
and how wonderful that was. And so it shows you that as a parent, you just got to do this once or twice so that you're comfortable with it and
yes.
you start to open up your mind to this a little bit. So, you know, you talked a little bit about that. Go ahead.
I want to bring you back to your garden imagery because I did a CD exactly on that topic. It's Creating a Magical Garden and Healing Pond, and the idea is the garden is like a metaphor for your body. So not only are you growing tall and healthy, but you could plant seeds of peace, of love, of friendship. And then while their magic garden is growing, they're kind of laying around in a healing pond to heal anything that's bugging them. And afterwards, they could talk to one of the flowers that has a message for them. Maybe the flower friendship says, it's okay, go over to her and ask her, you know, say hello, tell her you want to be friends. So everyone's a little bit different.
Yeah, I love that. It's just, it seems, you know, to me, and I don't, you know, I don't know if this would be everybody that would listen to this, but it just seems so simple that it should be something that we all could do, but it really does take a focus, and you got to just be so excited to have this book completed. Talk a little bit about what your expectations are and kind of what's your next things that you're doing. I know that you probably got a lot of promotion that's going on with your book, and you're going to go out there and really get this out into people's hands, because this is going to be wonderful for parents everywhere. I just can't imagine that they wouldn't just love this and scoop it up. And it brings me back to this this movie that me and my children, and we watched this the other day, and I mentioned to my wife, and the name of the movie was called Inkheart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard about that.
Oh.
It's got Brandon Fraser in it. But it's a wonderful thing where he reads a story and the story comes to life and the characters in the book come out of the book, and it's just, it's fun. It's just such a fun little book. But it's so wonderful that we just did that, like, I think it was like on Friday or Saturday night that we watched that. So it's got it in my mind that how powerful it is to tap into your imagination and have some tools. This is what's really cool about what you're teaching is you have specific tools in place that people can start using right now.
Right now, yes. And that I'm going to rent that movie, Inkheart. That sounds like a wonderful story. And in fact, one of the little kids who took one of my CDs said, do you have this in a movie? And I said, oh, honey, the movie's inside your head.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
I'm surprised they didn't ask for an MP3 download.
Right. Well, we have that too. Because I am doing that with my book launch. For what
All
I've
right.
done was, because there are lots of imageries in the book that parents could read to their kids, but if they don't want to themselves, I've done CDs with the imageries from the book on there. And, of course, they go to my website for that. And then with the launch today, if they buy it on Amazon or whatever for a while, then they could order MP3s, as you say, downloads to make it easier. But I was thinking the MP3s might be, I can't imagine a five-year-old on her, well, might be on her little iPhone or iPod listening.
Why don't you give us your website where they can order that?
Oh, sure, sure. It's, of course, www.imageryforkids.com, and that's an F-O-R for the four, and imageryforkids.com. And if they Google my name, it'll come up all over the place as well.
It sounds like a lot of what you're talking about with imagery goes along with what a friend of ours, or Bill and I's, named Shelley, does with the positive affirmations she writes.
Yes.
It seems there's a lot of connection there where you write these affirmations and you read them, and then they become internalized and become an image for yourself.
I definitely use that also, Dave, with some of the kids. They use affirmations because they imagine it, and then they'll say it to themselves or they'll write them down. I remember a little boy that was having troubles with bedwetting, and, of course, that affects a lot of kids more than you probably realize, and it could be very shameful and embarrassing for them. And so we have them, imagine themselves waking up dry and say to themselves, how great I feel when I wake up dry, and try to put those affirmations in a positive, in the now, happening right now kind of pace. So it makes it more alive for them. In fact, in the bedwetting, we have them go inside and imagine their urethra and their bladder and check out if there are any holes or leaks, and then with color kind of seal up the holes and leaks, make it stronger. Maybe they put a little alarm clock in, so before they're going to pee in the middle of the night, it wakes them up. It's been really, really helpful to a lot of kids.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely needed that about a year ago.
Oh!
You know, when you're especially when you're going with your kids and you're trying to kind of take them from you know, the diaper stage into the next stage, and, you know, and it's hard. There's different things that, you can do as far as, not giving them juice and things like that before they go to bed. But I love that idea of sealing up the holes. I think that's things like that, especially with kids. And that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you got to have a lot of fun as you're researching this out. You probably... probably a lot of the things that you do are kind of on the fly. You really,
sure.
You talked about it, that some kids would like audio, some kids would have a better time of reading affirmations, and other kids like video. Well, we know that that's exactly what we are when we grow up. Some people enjoy reading books, some people listen, to their iPods, and other people watch DVDs. And so it's really interesting that the same things that we as adults would use for tools, that you've covered.
Sure.
And have those bases covered for kids as well.
Because you're either a visual, auditory, or kinesthetic learner. You either learn best when you see something, or when you hear it, or when you're actually doing something. So
it's important for parents to find that out, isn't it? I mean, they shouldn't just assume that their kids are not listening or not, paying attention, that there's something else going on that they need to be aware of.
Definitely, because in the school they use a lot of auditory. The teachers are speaking to the children. And there's some visual. There's less kinesthetic. There's less movement-oriented. Maybe in the very younger grades there's more, but you definitely have to watch what your child is, because that will affect how successful he or she is at school. And if you know that, sometimes I just ask the kids. They know themselves. Then you could tell the teacher, and she could adjust things for them. And then I want to take you back, because you asked me something about where I'm going next or what I'm doing. You're right. I really hope... My goal in writing this book is to help kids teach the kids to fish for the food of their soul, of their growing self, of having the tools to make their world a better place, to heal a lot of common problems, and to be able to face successfully all the challenges they're going to meet in life. And I hope we could do that child by child, parent by parent, person by person.
I really like that, kids teaching kids to fish. That's a wonderful, it's a wonderful analogy that you can do a lot of your own kind of fixing by yourself if you just have the right tools. That's a wonderful way of looking at it, and that's got to be, I know that you've got some stuff going on later today even. You've got some things that you're jumping out to.
Yeah.
What we'd like to do before we wrap up, because we definitely know that you're very, very busy today, and Dave and I so appreciate you swinging by on a busy day like today. This has been really special for us, and I hope that our audience out there is really getting the simple fact that, you know, what Dave and I bring as the Cyberhood Watch is we're trying to teach responsibility. One of our, we've made a joke about this because we created a site called Responsible Cyber Citizen. And we have a heck of a time getting people to join us. It's it's the funniest thing, you know. We laugh about it, and you know it's not funny because it's sad for us because we can't. But sticking that word "irresponsible" in there changes how people look at things. And I've just it's been a little kind of experiment for us, but we found that, you know, it starts at home, it starts with the parents, but teaching kids good tools on how to be responsible, not only in their daily lives when they go to school or with their, when they're playing with their friends, but when they're online, and that's what we provide them as tools to do that. So looking at it from that kind of aspect of responsibility, I like what you're doing because now you're making it not only available for kids to do, but with the tools, then they can be responsible for kind of how their future turns out. If they want to be a famous basketball player, you know, like Michael Jordan, all they need to know is exactly what Michael Jordan did, and that was is that, you know, he basically just had the imagination of being that person when he was young, you know, and I know this because I've kind of studied him, and I did this as well when I was little. My grandma would come out, and I was shooting baskets, and I had to always make the last basket before I went in. She didn't realize that that's what I was doing, but you know, and I was playing against Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul. You know, they were the stars of the day when I was little, and I would always have to make the last basket, and that was my imagination at work.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, not knowing that, you know, 40 years ago that that's what I was doing, and my grandma was just getting mad at me because I was out in the rain, right? But that really is the truth, that as a child, or as I would have loved to have known that when I was little, that I had all of these resources inside of me, and all I had to do was just figure out how to open them up.
Yes, one mom was reading the book, like a pre-copy of the book, and she was crying because she said, I wish I had this when I was a child. And I also want to acknowledge you for that whole point of responsibility, because one of my goals is to help build a child's self-esteem, but for me the definition also includes responsibility, because if you like yourself and feel good about yourself and respect yourself, you also respect others. And when you respect others, you act responsibly toward them and toward yourself.
Oh, I love that. I totally love that. Well, I'm gonna hand the mic over to Dave, and I'm gonna let him do our wrap up. We want to make sure we get you out of here on top of the hour. But
okay, great.
Thank you for being here today, Charlotte. I love your ideas. I love the approach that you're doing. We're gonna make sure that we have all of your information up on our blog, and we'll make sure you get a note of that so you can, you know, send people to the radio show, or we'll just get you a copy of the radio show sent out to you, so
that
people can.
Oh, that would
can,
be great. That'd be great.
You know, that people can listen to this, because it really is. You know, I hope that they've realized that this is just so powerful. I'm excited to use it in my own home, and I'm sure David is, because he still has three kids at home, even though they're grown up. He's going to start practicing all these things on them. See, you know, imagining being out in the real world and
yes,
all those
absolutely.
Fun things. Right, Dave?
Successful
and happy.
And my youngest is going to be 23.
Congratulations. Well done.
So, yeah, you know what? I think you already took our Cyberhood magic wand, but because it's going to be hard to top with trying to teach children how to be fishermen. But we like to give that wand over to our guests and say it's kind of like the theory of being around the water cooler. If only we had this, this would happen and things would be much better. So when we give you the magic wand, if you could wave it over everyone and one particular thing that you could do that would improve every child out there, what would it be?
Believe in themselves.
And that is right to the point. That is really important. It's all about the part of the self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence, I think. You're right. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you couldn't have made it any simpler for us, so we'd like to...
That, in fact, that might be the title of our blog post. You'll just be like, believe in yourself, and you're set. Well, thank you again, Charlotte, for your time today. Just a wonderful message. Like Charlotte said, you can check her site out at imageryforkids.com. Make sure you swing by there. Book release today. This has just got to be such a fun day for you. Thank you for your hour. And anytime we can do anything for you, just let us know. Dave and I are just big supporters and big fans. So thank you again.
Much appreciated.
And don't forget, swing by Responsible Cyber Citizen. You're the only one that probably really understands it.
No, there are many more that do.
Okay, well, have a wonderful day, Charlotte.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.